He is not here, for he is risen, even as he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Welcome to the Frog Logic Podcast. I am your host once again, David Rutt Rutherford. It is good to be back on the microphone. It has been quite some time since I had the audacity, the courage, what is another adjective that might describe the feeling it is to get back to press record, to work on thoughts, to put together a message that in some way, shape, or form might benefit someone out there who is in need. Well, obviously, it's been a while since everybody's heard me on the air since my last two podcasts, which were all the way back in September. That was the podcast I did about Afghanistan and the podcast I did about the 20-year anniversary of 9/11. Now, I have to openly admit that at the time that I recorded those, I was pretty lost. I had gotten to a place where many things were not as clear as I had hoped they would be. I'd gotten to a place where much of what I had thought I knew was to be true had moved into a place of uncertainty, into that great unknown, that place, that dark place where fear arises within us, that place deep down in the recesses of our soul or our consciousness, however you want to look at it, that place where things begin to percolate, things begin to corrode, things begin to fracture or fray, if you will. And that's what had happened to me. After 2+ years of great uncertainty, of losing a clear direction and focus in what I was going to do or what was placed in front of me and what I thought I was going to do. And when all that shifted, it began this descent, if you will. It began this fall from a place where I knew what was what. I knew what was right. I knew what was wrong. I knew what was true. I knew what was false. I knew what was good. I knew what was evil. But at that moment, when I recorded those two shows, I was lost. And it was a point of deep, deep, deep introspection, a place where I wanted to reflect upon the architecture of my beliefs, a place where I had to dig into the fundamentals of what I knew or I thought I knew to be true. And this was what happened with COVID, what happened to my business, what happened within the divide in America, what happened to my confidence within myself, what happened to the teams I was a part of, what happened to my perception of pain, right? And when you get lost like that, it's a scary, scary feeling. I mean, just look at where we're at right now. I mean, there's so many quantitative measurements that are highly predictive in terms of the fact that a significant portion of our country's population are lost right now. I mean, look at how many people, how many careers have been destroyed. Look at how many businesses have been destroyed. Look at how much motivation has been destroyed. Look at how much inspiration has been lost. I should use that as a better term, the more appropriate term for the show itself, lost and found. And the place that I think we generally need to begin, for obvious reasons in terms of loss, is, you know, the loss of loved ones, the life and the death of those many, many people out there that have struggled. And that's a critical thing that we need to evaluate after this intense time, right? What we've lost, those hidden enemies, right, that come after us, the sicknesses. But more importantly, the hidden enemies of really the tragedy of our mental health crisis that's ravaging the souls of Americans and people around the world for that measure. I mean, geez, look at the people in Shanghai right now screaming from their balconies at night in sheer terror and misery of the tyranny that is consuming them. Or think about the 100,000 plus overdoses, people that have been ravaged by the despair of COVID or the despair of their addictions. And with the wave of fentanyl that has been cascading across the border for the last year plus, and the intense destructive focus of the cartels and their desires, along with the Chinese, their desires to poison the people that we care about, to poison the people that we love. Think about those numbers. Think about this, the numbers that we might see this year as a result. I think about the many, many people that have committed suicide, 45,000 suicides last year, 1.9 million suicide attempts. And the number that scares the holy living Jesus out of me is the fact that teenage girl suicide increased by 50% last year. These are tragic, tragic numbers. On a personal level for me, I have four daughters. My oldest is 14. And I watch the sickness that's all around young people right now and the uncertainties of what they're going to face, whether it was the pandemic or whether it was the divide that they're seeing amongst their peers, the insensitivity for free speech, or whether it was the potentiality of World War III and what we're seeing in Ukraine and Russia right now. Just a profound sensation of a society or civilizations that have lost their way, right? I mean, these are intense, intense realities that we're all trying to deconstruct. But it would seem that because of this onslaught, this endless tide of fear that washes over us day in and day out, right, what has happened? That fear of the unknown has ravaged us. The fear of failure has consumed us. The fear of our own potential has paralyzed us. And that's a big deal, man. When you become lost in your own fear, when you cease to be able to embrace your fear, to understand it, and to be able to look within it and utilize it as a true motivational trigger for your ability to face those tides of fear, to face the unknown, right? To recognize that the unknown is a compartment or a component of your potential. And then you have to go out and you have to get out there. But man, when you've lost the ability to embrace fear, when fear has a hold of you instead of you having a hold of it, then we struggle immensely. Fear is that powerful of an emotion, that powerful of a state of mind. Fear is the thing that can destroy all of our abilities to succeed or at least our abilities to endure. Because that's what happens in times like this. That's what happens in these existential crises. We have to be able to endure. And a lot of how we're able to do that is through the things that we trust, right? Those fundamental ideas that we trust day in and day out. Those fundamental concepts that create the framework that we build the house of our, or the belief, that we build the structure of our belief systems around, right? That's what we try and do. We try and make sure that our framework is strong, that our foundations are strong. And these fundamental ideas, man, they're essential for our ability to weather the storm, to weather the hurricane of pain that seems to be unrelenting. Hell, all you got to do is turn on the TV, read the news, or watch something come at us, right? Watch it in depth. And we start to see a significant discrepancy evolve. We start to see some things that typically we weren't used to seeing. And part of that is we are losing our confidence in what the truth is. Now think about that. Think about how absolutely devastating that is when a human being looks deep within something that they once knew to be true. True in its totality, true in its essence, true in its existence. And when that truth becomes shattered, what happens? Well, that foundation is shaken to its core. And one of the places that we really are seeing the truth being dismantled, or the truth of someone else's truth, right? The moral relativism of certain ideologues that are out there spewing disinformation or misinformation or information that is simply not true, and trying to convince the masses that it is true. What happens to us? What happens to our state of mind? What happens to our state of being? What happens to our state of emotion? When our trust in the state, or our trust in the certain agencies, or our trust in the systems that once we knew were the advocates of truth, are no longer perpetuating truth in any way, shape, or form. Right? Because trust is essentially our protection. Right? Those are the things that we instill in our kids from a very early age. We instill, hey, you know, trust your parents, right? Trust the system. Trust the American dream. Trust in morality. Trust in God. Well, what happens when we start tearing away those trusts? When we tear apart the family? When we tear apart our trust in faith? When we tear down our trust in the institutions that were once able to bear the burden of that prolific responsibility to instill and teach and show a pathway forward amidst the suffering, which is life itself, right? What happens when that trust has been destroyed? Where do we build the foundation? Where do we lay that cornerstone when we're the fruitful lands, the rich soil of these ideas that we built this country around? What happens when we no longer trust those institutions? What happens when we don't trust our faith in those institutions? Well, I think it's only natural that what happens then is we lose our patience, right? We lose our ability to stay in control, our ability to remain focused in our endeavors, to have faith that all will be resolved once the storm has passed us, once the winds of change, or the winds of danger, the winds of evil, the winds of whatever concept seem to knock us off our foundations. Once those have blown through, we if we remain patient, we'll get back to where we once knew, once that place where we trusted, right? And those natural laws that have governed us for so many thousands of years, those ideas, those metaphors, the mythology, the narratives that we know are to be true because they have been given to us through a wide variety of texts or scrolls or script or stories that we've passed down through the miracle of our legacy, the miracle of our continued legacy, right? Perpetuating the species in a way that is powerful. Now, all I got to do is say, hey, man, look what happens when we've lost our patience in the past, when we've lost our ability to control our anger in the past, when we've lost our ability to temper our malevolence, when we've lost our desire to hold dear these concepts, these ideas of good and evil. You don't have to look too far to find the truth of what happens when we've lost all those things. Just look to the 20th century. Look what happens when we give up on, or we turn our backs on, or we cease to seek out the things that govern our existence. When we cease to seek out the things that enable us to adhere to that relationship which allows the light to permeate, we devolve into chaos. And we've been seeing some of that happen, because that's what happens when we lose our ability to control our patience, or our ability to control our anger, or our inability to remain focused. When we grow considerably angry, or we have complete disdain or resentment towards our family members, or even to our friends. I mean, think about that. Think about how treacherous that is when people in your own family speak these non-truths as if they're gospel, getting away from the things that seem to be right in front of the rest of our faces, which seem to be hidden, if you will, these ideas, these concepts. Well, where are they hidden? Perhaps it's not as lost as we think. Perhaps it's not the type of lost where you're in some Uber somewhere and your phone slides out of your back pocket and the Uber driver drives off and you've lost your cell phone. Perhaps it's not like losing that old journal from when you were in college and you used to pontificate about life's great adventures, and you've lost that journal as a remembrance to one ideal that you used to hold true to your heart, that you would seek out. You would seek out things, seek out the truth through the journey of life itself. You've lost that. Or perhaps you've lost that intimacy that's within inside you, the intimacy that you feel for your spouse, your wife, your loved one. Or perhaps you've lost the intimacy that for your children, and your willingness to sacrifice your own wants, wishes, and desires so that they can begin to understand where to look, where to seek out these truths. And I ask you, is it truly lost? Are the things that you know that keep you feeling fulfilled, the things that give you meaning, the relationships, the ideas, the quest, the journey itself, is it truly lost? Or have you just stopped looking for it? Has that grand sensation of fear beaten you down in such a way that you've allowed yourself to be blind to the responsibilities? Or perhaps you've grown deaf to the positivity of the journey, of the search. Because when you're blind and you're deaf, what happens? Your desire to seek, your passion to discovery, it becomes stifled to a point that if left unmoved or unchallenged or unbroken, then you cease to search for your own salvation. Now, I'll tell you something. I refuse to stop searching for my own salvation. It's the righteous path. It's the path that determines whether or not I'm going to get to go to heaven. It's the path that determines whether or not I know that God truly loves me, even in the midst of my own darkness, even in the midst of what seems to be my wandering aimlessly in the desert, if you will. Well, this show, what I want to tell you is I want to tell you what I have found, not merely what I lost, because all of us lost many things over the last couple of years. There's no doubt. And if you haven't, God bless you. If you have, you're not alone. And that's the beauty of all of what we've lost. It's the recognition that we are not alone in our pain. We are not alone in our suffering. And I had this come to a miraculous state of awareness. Because in December, I got married. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jonna and I got married. We got married on my parents' anniversary and in their backyard with just our family around us. And it was beyond anything I could have comprehended. Because all of those things, all of those ideas, all of those concepts that had driven me into that state of being lost, suddenly I was found. I was found through the commitment that she had for me and the commitment I had for her. I was found in the trust that we had for one another, the truth that was our relationship, the truth that existed within our communication, the truth that existed within our intimacy, the truth that exists within the potential of our future together. You see, she is my swim buddy. She is the person that will go into any room with me doing a dynamic entry. She is the person that will swim across the horizon with me. She is the person that will climb any mountain with me. She is the person that will follow me down into the ninth gate of Dante's Inferno and grab my hand to retrieve me back to a place where we can both be found. And that happens through love. And it is our unconditional love that is the light. It is the direction. It is the clear pathway forward. Now, I know what you're thinking. When you hear me say unconditional life, you're like, sure, Rut, there's no such thing as unconditional love. There is no such thing. There's always conditions. We always have hierarchies. We always have judgment. We always have sin. And that's true. I'm not going to deny that. But that pursuit of unconditional love, that perpetual desire to want to embody that concept, That is the pathway to salvation. To be able to check my own fear, right? To be able to resist my own anger, to instill a level of patience within our love for each other and for our children that's in a level never before thought of. And the strength that's within that unconditional love is the strength that we need to keep our cornerstone in place, to keep our foundation strong. Because we both know that, you know, the storm isn't over. It may be subsiding to a certain degree in one aspect, but there's another storm around the corner. Thus is life. But we'll be together in it. And we'll be there for our children, because it's our mission together to live together, to teach our children how to build their own foundation, how to become their own architect of their own belief systems. So we instill in them and we teach them what we've learned through our own lives and through the deaths of those that we love. And we teach them that those lessons need to continue throughout their lives. They are not lessons to be placed on the shelf or to be put on a hard drive and stored in some random empty drawer out in the garage where nobody ever goes and looks on it. No. These are the things that enable us. These are the lessons that enable us to drive on, to fight on. Right? These are the lessons that enable us to don the armor of God, right? So it's these lessons we need to teach. It's these lessons we need to look at. The hardship we just came through, the suffering, what we learned from our own limitations, what we learned from the limitations of those we loved, what we learned from the darkness, to turn that into light, so that it may guide our children in the future. Just as those from our past have done. Just as the greatest generation taught us after World War II. So too now I believe my generation, the generation that has been at war for the past 20 years, it is upon us to try and teach that radical ideologies are destructive. They not only take the life of the innocent, but they also take the life of the warrior as well, too, that no place is safe, that no one is safe from the hardships of evil, from the hardships of tyranny, from the hardships of ceasing to be free. Right? Because it's your faith and your belief systems that give you the freedom, that is the righteousness. And it's that faith in one another that inspires you to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, put your boots back on, tie them tighter, stand up straight, and with courage, walk unto the breach. Now, I have to admit, man, I've been blessed, man. And after going through a tremendous sensation of loss professionally, out of nowhere, a good close personal friend of mine, a man that I truly believe in, I truly trust, a man that I know is a good man, a man that makes me better every time I'm around him. I can see it and feel it in his eyes. He's a good father, he's a good husband, and he's a good friend. And it was this man, this relationship that saw my struggle, that saw my pain, that saw me wandering in the darkness, and he said, "Hey, why don't I help you out?" And so he got me an interview with his bosses. And I went and flew up and met with these men, and I told them who I was and what I believed in and what I stood for and what had happened to me, and that I was willing to fight for them and to fight for what they believe in as well too. And lo and behold, they gave me a chance. And from August through December, I conducted 15 different events. I think it was something, almost 30 different speeches all across the country, sharing everybody the Frog Logic message. Not doing anything different, not changing anything I've been doing for the past 16 years. Just doing it with a refound sense of pride, a refound sense of energy, a refound sense of drive and commitment and inspiration. And the recognition that I had all just recently essentially lost it all. But now God had given me the opportunity to go back after it. And it was through this relationship, through his faith in me, that I am able to continue planting the seeds of Frog Logic, to continue planting the seeds of faith that I believe are essential in our ability to find a path, to find a meaning and purpose in life. Now, nothing is better in the world to me than meeting new people and helping them to reshape their perceptions of pain. And so now as I go out and I stand amongst other people that have experienced pain or are experiencing pain themselves, I offer a ray of hope. I offer the concepts that are rooted in my faith, the concepts that are Frog Logic. But I do so with a newfound sensation of honesty, a newfound sensation of trust that the things that I am sharing can help others. So look at yourself and look at what you've gone through. Look at what you've come through. Look at where your business is. Look at what your beliefs are about. Look at what your passions are. And don't be afraid about the current situation. Don't look at yourself in the mirror and say, it's not worth it. It's not worth it because it all can be taken and stripped from me tomorrow. What really do I control in my life? I can't control the government. I can't control COVID. I can't control the media. I can't control other people's anger and frustration. But what can you control? You can control how you interpret the lessons that you have just learned. And if you're willing, you can get out there and share those lessons with other people, and that should get you started again. It should make you feel a sensation. It should make you feel strength in a foundation of salvation, right? Because how are you going to be saved? How are you truly going to be saved in the midst of all of your suffering? And the answer is we must find ourselves in our suffering. The great Viktor Frankl talked about this extensively. So too does the great Dr. Jordan Peterson talk about this extensively. That life is imbued with suffering, no matter what. And this concept, this pursuit of happiness is a fool's quest, because happiness is fleeting like so many other things, but meaning that is rock solid. That's why Christ is so rock solid. Now I ask you, look into your pain, dig deep, seriously, take a step back, walk to the beach, go for a run in the woods. Hell, get on your bike, sit in your closet, sit in your couch, I don't care, in your car, put on your favorite melancholy music or whatever it is. I love listening to Godspeed, You Black Emperor, that gets me there. And look deep into your pain. Look into the core of your suffering. Look deep. Peer. In fact, pierce into it. And you do this so that you can find your faith. Oh, sweet Jesus, Rut. Don't get going on faith anymore. Faith in what? What do I have faith in right now? Faith in the U.S. government, faith in our agencies, faith in the institutions that we once coveted as in our youth. Faith in the fact that 2 + 2 = 4. All of these things that I was faithful in are under assault, Rut. I'm telling you, we cannot lose our faith. Just because there are certain group or groups of people that are insistent on tearing apart your faith, it's up to you whether or not you're going to let them do that. You must not forget you are a sovereign creature. And it's your sovereignty. It's your sovereignty to God that enables you to know what the natural order of things is. It's up to you and your faith to trust. To trust that Christ died on the cross so that you could be found. Think about it. Think about it. One of the things I always love to do around this time of year and Easter is I love to go back and watch selected parts from Passion of the Christ. In particular, I love to see the stages where Christ has been condemned and carries that cross, and he goes out and he's nailed to it, and he's placed up on that cross. And every time, man, I tear up. I well up. I well up with my own sin. I well up with my own fears. I well up with my own indecisiveness. I well up with the fact that I've been lost. But through his suffering, I'm found. So don't be afraid. Look deep within your own sins. Look deep within your own fears. Look deep within your own judgment of others, of yourself, of those insecurities. And recognize that your sin will be forgiven. As long as you have the courage to follow and have faith in what Christ did for you. I know I don't often get on and profess my deep-rooted faith in Jesus Christ, but today is Easter, and today is a day of reflection for me. Today is a day that I really look down the path. I look backwards. I look backwards down the path of that despair that created a very tumultuous time for me and my family. They were not unburdened by my own fears. But it is through that journey that I have learned even more about myself than I already knew. And it is through that reflection that I see myself in a way that I did not quit. Yes, I thought about it, and yes, I thought about quitting on many things. But I know that Christ did not quit on me. And it's through the very idea, the very concept, the very belief that he is risen, that I know so too shall I rise. You must not forget that the search down the dark path of suffering is so that you can find the light. And it is the light of faith that is what you're searching for. So do not be afraid to be faithful. To be faithful in the person that you love most or the people that you love most, regardless of their suffering. Be faithful to yourself in the recognition that you can withstand the pain, that you may bear the burden of another person's pain, that you might bear the burden of Christ's pain himself and spread the good news. To bear the burden of being lost, or to bear the burden of witnessing someone else that is truly, truly lost. Because it is the light of your faith that you will find the light that shall keep you going. For once what was lost shall be found through the light. It is such an absolute honor and a privilege that anybody's out there still listening at all. And my mission, my goal continues to be to try and help you understand that you're going to be okay, that we're all going to be okay. We just need to have faith in each other. We just need to seek the truth. Because if you seek, ye shall find. And so it is written. I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to God. I want to say thank you to Jesus Christ. I want to say thank you to Jonna and my kids, and my parents and her family and my family, my brother Jane and her brothers and my friends, my children. I want to thank all the people out there that are struggling right now but are still having a positive attitude. I want to thank all the people out there that are helping other people struggle. I want to thank Tom for his service. And most especially, I'd like to thank Mark Crampton, my former Command Master Chief at SEAL Team 1. And I hope and pray that you are with Christ and with God right now, Mark, and you just know how much you meant to me in my life. And thank you. And thank you for being with me on that wonderful ride in Afghanistan so many years ago. Thank you for your faith in me, and thank you for your willingness to share your wisdom and your lessons. I hope and pray your family's going to be okay. And I want to thank all of you out there. Thank you for keep coming back. Thank you for your faith in me. And thank you for being on this journey with me, this journey towards our salvation. Our collective salvation through the intensity of our collective suffering. And I promise you, what you have lost, it will be found if you just keep searching. God bless you.